If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And I'll read it. Listen now to the word of God. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's word. God, we thank you that when we were lost, you came to us, you found us, you pursued us. And so much like in the way that you called Zacchaeus down from the tree, though we were in a position of wrong, though we were still an enemy, Lord, you called us by name and you told us to come down into your presence. Lord, and we are so thankful that you love us in that way, even today. Lord, it's not just an old story. It's not just history. But Lord, every day of our lives and in the days that will come, Lord, you are going to love us with the same love. So Lord, as we think about your word today, as we ponder your message, Lord, help us to really be affected deep inside of our hearts, and may our lives be changed, may we be transformed so that we could live a life that knows that we are loved, that knows that we were once lost but are now found. Lord, I pray that as we hear the passage, though it may have been one that we've heard in the past, may it find us fresh, may it find us anew, may it give us a new perspective and a new idea, a new understanding of our relationship with you. We thank you, God. We trust in you and all this in Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. When I was in college, I took a road trip with some of my friends for spring break. And it was a very exciting trip. I was very excited to go on this trip, but it was kind of a long drive. We were starting from Binghamton, New York, and then we were driving down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And we didn't really have a good plan. If you think about a bunch of like college kids, it's not like we form a really smart plan and we print out like roadmaps. We were just like, I'm sure we'll be able to find it. A bunch of guys were driving and we were like, it's just south. I'm sure we'll be able to find it. So we just took a quick glance at the map and we decided, yeah, it's easy. It won't be a problem. And of course, about 2-3 hours in, we were reaching around like the Maryland type area and we got really, really lost. We got super lost and we were like driving around and we were like, didn't we see that before? Didn't we just drive by that? And then we actually got stuck in kind of like this area of the road where we kept paying tolls. And we were like, we got to stop doing this. We keep paying tolls and we keep going to the same roads, you know, and then slowly we started blaming each other. We're like yelling at each other. We're like calling the other car, like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be leading. And there was a lot of uncertainty and we were supposed to reach our hotel at a certain time, but we were very, very late. And we were starting to get very anxious. We're college kids, so gas is precious. And we were starting to waste a lot of gas. We were paying a lot of tolls. And we were starting to get a lot of frustration. But while we were lost during that road trip, we stopped. And I know it's not easy for, you know, very proud and very confident college guys to do, but we pulled over and we had to ask someone for directions. And we asked a stranger for directions. He was in a pickup truck. And we were going, you know, where do we find this road? Like, how do we get off this roundabout where we keep paying tolls? And, you know, how do we? And there he's like, where are you guys going? We're like, oh, we're going south. We're trying to go to Myrtle. And he was like, oh, you guys are completely in the wrong place right now. You guys keep going on the wrong road. He's like, stop taking that ramp. And he was telling us things. He was like trying to give us directions. And we looked at him and we were just kind of doing like the wide eye, like nod. And he could tell that we were not understanding. And he said, you know what, forget it, just follow me. And he got into his pickup truck and he started driving us. And he led us on the road that we were supposed to go. He took us all the way to the, I think, 95. And he told us, hey, this is what you're supposed to be on. This is how you got to go. And he drove us all the way there. And it took about 20 to 30 minutes, I think, to find the road. And when we were realizing kind of what he was doing for us, he took the time out of his day. He took time out of his schedule to drive us around so that we could be found. So, you know, as he's driving off and he's like waving and we're all waving at him, you know, we felt so much, you know, gratefulness. We were so thankful towards him. Like, wow, what a good guy. And, you know, of course, the inevitable, like, oh, that would never happen in New York kind of statement came out. But he was really nice. And it was so, it left us with such a good feeling, such a good impression. You know, it was something that really stuck with us throughout the trip. If we had started off the trip so lost and so upset at each other and getting angry at each other and getting frustrated at each other, we don't know what the trip might have become like. But what we could feel and what we understood was this sense of gratitude. Because this person took time out of his day. He went out of his way to help us find our way. When you're lost, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling to go from being lost to being found. You know, like you have that feeling of being insecure. You're disoriented. You're not sure if you're going in the right direction. And it just makes, when I'm driving, it makes me drive faster. I don't know why, but my heart races a little bit and I'm looking for signs, I'm looking for familiar things, and it doesn't feel comfortable. But once you realize, oh yeah, I am on the right track, I am headed towards the right place, I am going towards my goal, then you get filled with a sense of peace, then you get a sense of comfort, and you feel confident. For someone who is lost, when you are found or when you are on the right track, when you're on the right path, it's a very joyous occasion. It's like, oh, yes, finally. You know, we're going towards where we need to be going. So that's one thing that I want you to remember. When you are lost, it is a very joyful thing to be found. But there's something I think also that's a little bit worse than just being lost. And I think that idea is when you're lost, but you don't know you're lost. Right? If you kind of put that into the driving analogy, if you're driving and you're going down the wrong path, if I were driving towards Buffalo, you know, for example, instead of Myrtle Beach, and I didn't know it, then by the time I realize it, I'm so far from my destination. I'm so far from where I want to be. When you're lost, but you don't know you're lost, you have a sense, a false sense of comfort. You have a false sense of security. But when it hits you and you realize at that moment that you're lost, it hits you so much harder. It's kind of like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that I didn't realize I was doing something wrong this whole time. I was driving the wrong way this whole time. I wasted so much of my time and I was getting further and further from where I wanted to go. At that kind of idea, it reminds me of a story that I had from my childhood. When I went shopping, when we were going for like jacket shopping or when we needed new clothes for a new school year, my mom and my sister, we would go together to a department store called Stearns. So I don't know if you know the Flushing area very well, but there was a place called Stearns on Roosevelt Avenue near Main Street, and we would go there to shop. And I hated shopping as a kid. I still hate shopping, but I hated shopping. So my sister and my mom, they're loving it. They're having a good time. They're trying on clothes, and I hated it. So what I would do, I don't know if you can kind of imagine it, but all the jackets and all the coats in department stores, they're kind of on a circular thing. And what I would do as a little kid is I would kind of like move the jackets aside, and I would go into the middle of those racks, and I would hide. And I used to play hide and seek with my sister like that. So I know we have young kids and they're smiling and laughing. Don't ever do that. Because the moral of this story is I was doing that and I was kind of like hiding by myself and I didn't realize that my sister wasn't looking for me. So I was hiding and I was going like, yeah, I'm going to play hide and seek. But my sister was too busy trying on jackets. So I was going from like rack to rack, like hiding in the middles. And I would sit and I would like kind of like wait really quietly. And I got so far away and I was away for so long that I was lost, but I didn't realize that I was lost. And I was hiding there and I was like, yeah, I'm doing such a good job of hiding. But slowly I realized it's been a really long time since I've heard my sister or my mom's voice. And I was like, and it's a really long time since I've seen them. And of course, I didn't have a watch or a cell phone. So I kind of like came out of the coat rack and I realized like, I can't find my parent. I can't find my mom. I don't know where my sister is. And it had been such a long time that I was like, I couldn't remember the last time I'd seen them. I couldn't remember which department they were in or where they said they were going. It probably was about an hour that I was like hiding away and running around. And my mom was probably looking for me at that time. But I came out and I suddenly felt a sense of panic. And I think even now as I tell the story, I can feel that panic that I felt. It's like, wow, I must have been away for so long and I can't find my mom now. And I ran around the department store, like frantically as a little kid. I ran around the department store looking for my mom. But even as a little kid, I had like a little bit of pride. So I couldn't like cry and I couldn't tell anyone like, I can't find my mom. I didn't, you know, like when other people saw me, I was like, yeah, I'm fine. But I was like running around looking for my mom. And I had a real sense of panic inside of my heart. I was like, are they going to find me again? What if my mom left? What if I can't find her again? I know these are not logical and reasonable thoughts, but as a little kid, and because I felt so lost, I started wondering and fearing all these things. So at some point, I felt despair almost. I was like, I can't find them. And no matter how many aisles I run through, no matter how fast I run, I can't find them. And so probably one of the smartest things I did is I sat right in front of like an escalator and I just sat down in front of a mannequin. Like, you know, those displays that are on the front. I just sat down in front of them. You know, like everyone walking by was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And I just sat there and eventually I saw my mom running down towards me. And she was like, you know, she was really upset, happy, relieved. I think panicked. There was like all kinds of emotions. She's like, yeah, and she's doing like the Korean mom thing where she's like happy, but she's yelling at me. And then she's like hugging me, but she's like hitting me. And it was a lot of those mixed emotions. But I was so happy. I was so relieved. I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh. All that anxiety, all that stress just kind of went away. And I was just like, oh, it's so good to see my mom. But what I realized even as a young kid is more than myself, more than the person that was lost being found, the person that found me was so happy. I could tell my mom was so happy to found me again. And, you know, she was kind of going like, yeah, it was my fault. I shouldn't have let you run into the coat hangers. I don't know why I let you do that in the first place. And she's like, it's okay. You know, don't worry about it. I won't tell dad. And she's saying all these things. But she was so relieved. She was so happy. And I saw that and I thought, wow, my mom really loves me. You know, I'm the one that did the wrong thing. I'm the one that was lost. My mom wasn't lost. She knew exactly where she was the whole time. I was the one who was lost. And she's the one who found me. And I should have been the one who was very grateful. I'm the one that should have been thankful. I'm the one that should have been full of joy. But she was happy. She was full of joy. And it made me think to myself, yeah, this lady loves me. And it really filled me with a lot of assurance. It filled me with a lot of confidence. It brings us to today's passage. And this chapter is about lost things. It's about things that are lost and a person or people who find them. And if you look very carefully into this story, if you really kind of break it down, there are some things in the story that don't make any sense. Okay? If you think about that first example, and the first example is about the lost sheep. You know, you have 100 sheep, apparently, and one sheep goes astray. And then the idea is that we have this shepherd or this person that's watching the flock, and they're willing to leave the 99 and to chase after the one. And not only do they chase after the one, but when they find it, they don't just go, hey, where are you going? And smack it back into place. They don't go, oh, look at the amount of work that you made me do. Look at how off track you made me go. The passage says that the person puts it on his shoulders and carries it back to the flock. Now, if you know some things about shepherding, if you know some things about their history or their background, that is nonsense, right? That is nonsense. When you're a shepherd and you're just in charge of leading the sheep from one area to another, there's a certain number that's acceptable loss. You know, you just need to come back and arrive with a certain number. As long as you have the majority, as long as you have about 80, as long as you have about 70, depending on the owner, depending on the person who commissioned you for the work, it's okay to lose one or two. Nobody expects 100 sheep to arrive at the destination. If you're a shepherd and you're leading, you know that one or two, you know, you can't risk the 99 to get the one. That makes no sense. So in a sense, this story is describing a terrible shepherd. So anyone that's reading this story or listening to this story back in their day, they're going, this is a crazy shepherd. This is a terrible shepherd. And not only that, they're willing to risk the 99, but then there's something more kind of unreasonable on top of that. Not only do they get the one and bring it back to the flock, they go, oh, we have to celebrate this occasion. Can you imagine if you called someone to celebrate that sort of occasion? Guys, listen, I had 100 sheep and one was lost and I found that one. Shouldn't we have a party for that? And it's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any kind of if you use logic, if you use reasoning, if you use the practices that they're used to, their customs, that makes no sense. In fact, if you got a call like that, or if someone called you over to their house for that sort of celebration, you would say, that is a weird thing to celebrate. That's insane. That's so weird. You see, that's kind of the idea that I had this past week. We serve a really weird God. And as I thought about the sermon that I preached last week about Zacchaeus, and one of the things that I thought is, what kind of God does this? You know, what kind of God loves us this way? And it's really what kind of opened up my eyes towards this passage as well. What kind of God, what kind of person celebrates that one sheep that's astray? And that sheep that's lost probably deserves to be lost. You know, everyone else is staying in line. Everyone else is doing the right thing. They're walking along the right path. Why this one that goes away? Why are you so pleased with that one? Why are you so happy that you would put your own life on the line, that you would risk losing the 99, that you would spend your own energy putting it over your shoulders and carrying it back? And not only that, but once you find that person, that sheep, that you would want to celebrate? This is a weird God. The love of God is beyond reason. And this is the type of thing that that Jesus is explaining about the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's trying to teach these people about who our God is. Why? Because the Pharisees are sitting there and they're grumbling, but they're not like us. They don't follow the law like us. They don't love God the way that we love God. These people are sinners. These people are doing all kinds of things wrong. Think about your lives. Think about who you were. Think about what you were doing with your life when God found you. Were you a righteous person? Would you be able to stand before God and say, I'm proud of who I was. I did everything right. I followed all of your laws. No, we were the ones that were lost. We were the ones that went astray. But God is the one who found us. God is the one who pursued us. God is the one who sought out those who were lost so that we could be found again. This is our God. This is the type of God that we serve. This is the type of God that I'm proud to worship. Not the God that says, hey, what were you doing? Get back in line. Though we deserve it. Though that would have been right. Though according to the standards of this world, maybe according to some other religions, that would have been the right thing to do. What is your problem? Why couldn't you do the right thing? Why couldn't you do the righteous thing in this moment? No, but our God goes beyond that. It takes us to the story of the lost coin. And this one's even kind of a little bit, you know, you don't celebrate just because you found something kind of like under your couch. I find things all the time because I'm good at losing things. I find things all the time. If I found something, and even if it was something very valuable to me, if I started calling all of my friends and saying, hey, why don't you come over for a barbecue? I found something that I lost. They'd be like, Edwin, I think you need to see someone. I think you're losing it a little bit. I think you need a little bit more rest. Maybe go on a vacation. They might think that I'm very weird, no matter how precious it is. And the thing that she lost, a silver coin or what they describe as perhaps a day's wage, yeah, that's a big deal. But you can make it up again. You can work again. It's not your life. But when you find that coin, you spend all day with a lamp sweeping and brushing and look. That's a lot of effort. And not only that, you're not just happy on your own, but what do? You celebrate with people around you. This story is weird. The reaction of this person is so weird. the person that is looking for what was lost, you know, that reaction, when you take it into the standards of this world, is almost crazy. One more step, or one thing deeper, is that story with the prodigal son, the lost son. And though he goes away and loses and, you know, squanders his wealth, you can make an argument that this son was lost even before he left his household. Right? This is a lost person. And they were in despair. That son was living and he was eating pig feed. You know, he didn't have a place to sleep. He didn't have anything to stand on his own two legs. He didn't have any kind of foundation. And so when his father accepts him back into the household, he's the one that should be happy. He's the one that should be overjoyed. He's the one that should be relieved. But it's the father that embraces him and says, we have to throw a party. We have to do something for this son that was lost and is now found. You see, that's an amazing thing. And that's something that you need to remember about your relationship with God. It's not because you deserved it or because you did so many great things for God. You were the lost person. You were the one that squandered everything. You were the one that was living a life that was not pleasing in his sight. And God could have waited. He should have waited for us to get our act together. He should have waited till we were back in church and doing the right things according to what we think Christians are supposed to do. He didn't. He didn't wait. He ran out. He pursued. He called out your name while you were still a sinner. He called out your name as a sinner that was perched atop a tree, who was a chief tax collector, who had done nothing right in community, who had stolen, who had cheated perhaps. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I'm spending my time with you. I'm going to be the guest of a sinner. See, that's the type of God that we serve. And that is the Jesus that is longing for you to not be afraid of him. He's longing for you to call out to him, to reach out to him, even though we have sin in our lives, even though we are lost, even though we might not have done a thing for him or for his kingdom. He's still waiting, and he's still seeking. He's still pursuing you. Do not be afraid of him, but call out to him. Reach out your hand to him. And there are those who might not have even found him yet. You might know people who have not found God yet. And don't despair. Don't try to change who they are. Don't try to fix them. Don't try to make them do the right things and act like the right people. Just trust that the shepherd is going to find his sheep. Pray for them, love them, and try to show them the love that God showed to you, that he displayed to you, and try to be an agent of the love of the kingdom of God. When you are an ambassador and when you show them the kingdom, it is something that is so appealing. God's grace is something that draws people towards him. You don't need to fix who they are or try to make them look like someone that you want them to be. God is the pursuer. And though we should be so happy, you know, every time I think about what God did for me, every time I think about who I used to be, who I was, or what my life would be like without God in it, it just makes me want to sing. It makes me want to dance. It fills me with so much joy. It fills me with so much happiness, more so in God's heart. And you might not think that's a big deal. I'm just one person out of this whole world. But when you were found, there was a party in heaven. When you were found, God called up all the people, all the angels, and he said, look at what I found. Look at what was lost, but is now back in my possession. There was a party in heaven just for you. And that's a ridiculous thought. Who am I that God would throw a party? I know who I was. I was rotten. I was wretched. I didn't deserve that. But God threw a party in heaven. And if you are not yet found, or if you know people who are not yet found, that's going to happen when they're found as well. God's going to throw a party for them. He's going to throw a banquet. He's going to have singing and dancing. He's going to be filled with so much joy and happiness up in heaven when you are found. It's not, I told you so. It's not, this is what you should have been doing. See, you should have been in my house this whole time. See, you did wrong. No. God is the pursuer. He's the finder. And he's also the one who celebrates. He's the one who celebrates, and he's the one who's overjoyed when you are found. It happened for each and every one of you. And if it hasn't happened yet, when you are found by God, it will happen also. The Father who finds us, he's the one who's happy, even though we're the ones who were lost. He was never lost. You know, and sometimes we think, why did he need to find us? But for some reason he did. And that's the true depth of God's love for us. That's the true depth of love that he has for each and every one of you. So let us not be thankful just for being found. Don't just think about, oh, now I was lost, but now I'm found. But let's reflect on the person who found us. Let's reflect on the person who decided that you were worth it, that he would go out of his way, that he would put something on the line, that he would give his son so that you would be found. Your relationship and your thankfulness is not just because you were lost and are now found. It's because we serve a God that's willing to find those who were lost, that's willing to put something on the line to find you, who did that in the past and will continue to do that in the future. Let's appreciate the nature and character of our God, who does ridiculous things, who makes himself look so weird in the eyes of this world, who does things that are not necessarily appropriate, but he just does what is right and what is in his heart because you are precious in his sight. Remember that this week. I pray that you will really be able to reflect on who you were, where you were, and just think about the great celebration that occurred in heaven. And that's the depth of love that God has for each and every one of you. Let us pray. God, who are we that you would go through that much effort to find us? Sometimes we don't even feel like we're worth that. But we are in your eyes. And you love us so deeply. You love us in ways that we can't even understand. That you would pay such a cost to bring us back into your house, to have us in your presence again. And as we reflect on that, Lord, help us to respond with our lives. Help us to respond with our praise. All the good things that we have inside of us, Lord, help us to turn it back to you as we reflect on a God who is willing to spend time with sinners, not just willing to spend time, but that you would call yourself a friend of ours. Lord, that you would invite us into your family, that you are proud to have us in your family. Lord, we thank you, God. We love you. We trust in you, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.